myself and the Joint Ways and Means Subcommittee on Human Resources, and today we're going to hear a couple of bills, have public hearings and possible work sessions. And I guess we'll start with Senate Bill 304. So Katie, do you want to give us sort of an overview? I'll give a brief overview. Senate Bill 304 comes directly to Ways and Means. It's not been to a previous committee prior. This particular bill has no fiscal impact. And what it does is it permits the Department of Human Resources to establish petty cash funds. It creates a volunteer emergency services fund not to exceed $10,000. Allows the department to combine or eliminate accounts. It increases revolving funds for the health division expenses from $20,000 to $25,000. And it allows the department to create trust accounts for the contributions received for the department's clients. Just so you know, this is not unusual for the Department of Human Resources. They do have other petty cash funds within their other departments. They're just trying to take care of some that in which they don't have them.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Doug Wilson, Director of Program and Finance, and with me is Don Charlton, our Chief Financial Officer for the department. I'll make a couple opening comments and turn it over to the expert here. As Katie is your staff, so noted, Senate Bill 304 really proposes a number of changes to the administration of DHR's financial accounting practices. It is the other side of the budget process. It's the process that keeps track of all the spending. And the operations of the department, like Katie said, it has no direct impact on the budget or fiscal impact, but does over time increase the efficiency of operating the department. Senate Bill 304 brings statutory language governing some of the financial administration of DHR into compliance with the business practices that government, as well as many other private organizations, operate under now. And this bill does complement the direction that Gary Weeks, our director, has outlined to you before, that of coordinating services and programs across the entire Department of DHR, or the entire scheme of services of DHR. Senate Bill 304 will make this coordination, in some cases consolidation of functions, that much easier to accomplish. Without being repetitive, Senate Bill 304 does a number of things, and Katie pretty much outlined them. Things that she didn't, it does provide the flexibility to DHR to establish financial practices to accommodate what we see our future business needs. It brings together some of the language makes language sort of current to the today's business practices. For example, we tend to use the terminology warrants right now, which sort of means checks in many people's eyes. And we don't pay in checks. In fact, we try to minimize the use of checks in our process with electronic commerce, and we try to make one of the changes throughout this bill is to recognize that. I think I'll turn it over to Don now to go through the bill. And like I said, Don is our Chief Financial Officer for DHR.
Probably going to have a call. Okay. Probably going to be a call.
Okay. Well, in light of that, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I can either walk through the handout that I just gave you, or I could just open up the questions if you have any of those. Which would you prefer?
What is the committee's pleasure? Do you want a detail?
I just want to add a quick question.
Okay.
Questions are fine with me.
Okay.
Doug, you said there's no fiscal impact of this bill, but it increases efficiency. How does it increase efficiency?
You want to expand this year?
Yeah, Madam Chair, Senator Yee. We're currently going through a process of identifying all the payment processes and the accounts that those use in the Department of Human Resources. I'm up to having identified 58 separate payment processes to this point using a number of accounts. As we go through a process of collapsing and consolidating those payment systems, it may be that, and it is my hope that, we will not need the number of accounts that we were running cash transactions through. So what I'd like to do is have the ability then to collapse those accounts into fewer accounts, which increases decreases the number of accounts we need to monitor, and which subsequently then increases our efficiency in monitoring internal controls and so on and so forth, decreases the number of reconciliations and gives us the ability to keep a better handle on the cash flowing out through the department.
Oh, I'm sorry. So this bill gives you the authority to consolidated accounts?
Madam Chair, Senator, yes, it does.
Oh, but I thought you was petty cash funds.
Well, Madam Chair, Senator, this bill does a number of things. This started out to be about 6 different bills, and we consolidated this into one bill since they're all related to accounts at the department. It seemed logical to do that. The first thing it does is does address the petty cash funds, and that's actually a minor part of this bill. If the authority is granted in this bill for those petty cash funds, I anticipate that creating no more than a half a dozen new petty cash funds to add to the amount that we already have throughout our branch office systems.
Madam Chair, and I know there are some concerns about petty cash funds just because of the term petty cash funds. These aren't necessarily coffee cans in the bottom of someone's desk with change in them. They are part of the business practices of the department as well as private corporations. And in some ways, they're better monitored, or one person has responsibility of that fund, so it is almost easier to track than some of our other payment processes. And they are subject to audit, subject to reconciliation, all the other things that our other accounts are subject to.
I only have really 2 questions, Madam Chair. And the first is this more efficient? And the second is, can you keep, maybe paper trail isn't even the right term anymore with computers, but can you keep a Senate trail that will guarantee anybody that wants to check into all the details, and I have no desire to do so. But number one, is it more efficient? And could it actually save you money by being more efficient? Number two, does it have the quote unquote paper trail so we always know where the money went?
Madam Chair, Senator Shields, the simple answer to that is yes. Petty cash funds are more tightly controlled than any payment process we've got in the department. There's a custodian. They log all transactions. They keep receipts for each of those. When they ask for a reimbursement back to that petty cash fund, they submit that log to one of my accountants in Central. They review that, and if there's any discrepancies, we know the person to go talk to about those discrepancies, and then and only then do we then create payment back to that petty cash fund to replenish that fund. And in fact, not only can somebody look at that detail, we do that on a routine basis before each of those are replenished. As far as efficiency, yes, it is more efficient on the right kind of transactions. For example, the field office sitting out in Huntora needs $3 of postage stamps. It's much more efficient to take $3 from a petty cash fund and purchase that than it is to go through a whole expensive reimbursement process for that.
Madam Chair, Senator, just sensing the possibility of a call of the House, and suggesting that there aren't a whole lot of questions, so we should move this from the other bills before the call returns.
Actually, we're in a hearing, so I'd have to open a work session, and I appreciate the wanting to be expeditious with it, but I had a couple questions, because this bill not only deals with petty cash, it deals with some other accounts. When mental health has provided care and services for their clients, how has it been done in the past? And then how are they reimbursed?
Me again. Okay, Madam Chair. This is a situation where we operate trust accounts for a number of clients of the department. We operate them for seniors, for children, and for folks in the institutions that basically don't have the capacity or don't wish to keep care of their own finances. Currently, this is the process that mental health is using to reimburse themselves for that care that has been given to those clients. This was put in the bill at the request of that institution on the advice of the AG that says there's enough authority to allow this to continue, but we would appreciate if you go get it in statute. So this is on the advice of the AG to make sure that it's in statute and it's very clear that they have that authority. Pardon me, I'm getting over the spring cold.
You say in DHR you have a petty cash, back to a petty cash for a second, you have a petty cash fund. How closely at this point are those funds watched and followed and so forth?
Madam Chair, we have petty cash funds at this point primarily throughout those divisions with branches, SCF, Vietnam Rehab, IAFS, and each of those branches generally has a petty cash fund. They are very tightly controlled. The process that I described, and the one I didn't mention was we also have internal audit functions that surprise audit those petty cash funds on a routine basis, and that's also one of the accounts of interest when division audits goes out and does field audit. It would be my opinion that the least likely place for any problems to occur would be petty cash funds.
Representative Logan.
Quick question. Is there a cap upon your funds?
On a petty cash fund? Basically, we, Madam Chair, Representative Logan, there's no statutory cap. However, we limit that to the minimum amount of a petty cash fund needs to operate. The biggest one that we have is $200, as far, and then we have those that go down as low as $50. So by our own policy, yes, we limit the amount that can be in that fund.
And why was that an increase needed to $5,000?
Oh, Madam Chair, that's an increase to the Health Division's account. The reason for that, the basic reason for that $5,000 increase is the Health Division, as you're aware, also is responsible for doing accounting for the health-related licensing boards. It is more efficient for Health Division, therefore, to pay expenses on behalf of those health-related licensing boards to their accounts. That $5,000 increase is to accommodate that.
Okay.
Madam Chair?
Senator George.
Section 7. We're talking about the funds that are property of the division's client, and then we're talking about the interest earned from the trust account, so the credit to the account. Is that credit to the client or just to the account in general?
Madam Chair, Senator George, that is to the client.
Okay.
One other question about the health division and the health-related licensing boards. There is a bill that would remove those licensing boards from the health division. What will be the impact then on the petty cash fund? It would just be an increased amount?
Right, Madam Chair, that's correct. The increased amount would just sit there, but I think you're referring to Section 6, and that $25,000 isn't actually the petty cash fund. That's actually an operating account. And so just the increased authority would sit there, but frankly, what that probably means is we'd have to reimburse that less frequently than we do now. Is the only effect it would have.
Okay. Any further questions?
That's one.
Okay.
What do we mean by a volunteer emergency services?
Madam Chair, Representative Loken, that means volunteer. That's actually an account that is used exclusively for our volunteer program. And I don't know if you've been apprised of that through the budget, but that's our. The volunteers program. Yeah, that's actually one of my favorite programs in the department. And okay. So this is an account.
That's actually what it meant.
Yeah, and that's exactly what that's for.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not like that. Anyway, I'm going to that. They really are volunteers.
Okay, if there are no further questions, what we'll do is open a work session on Senate Bill 304. And here, Representative Ross.
Move approval of Senate Bill 304 and move to the full committee for defense recommendation.
Representative Ross moves approval of Senate Bill 304 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there a discussion? Any objections? Hearing and seeing none, 304 goes to the full committee.
Thank
Could
you.
I have a couple carriers? Representative, why don't you carry it on the floor?
Okay.
Representative Ross, will you carry it in the full?
Sure.
Okay. Do we have a volunteer from Senate? Senator Shields. Thank you. Okay. We will close the hearing on that. We will open a hearing on House Bill 2461.
Yeah, okay. 2461 is the bill that deletes the sunset for the 10-cent pack cigarette tax, which was dedicated to the health plan. This particular bill comes to you from the, is it revenue? Yes. No.
House Revenue
Committee. And what it does, a little background on this, this tax was originally passed with a health plan in 2 5-cent increases effective November 1, 1993 and January 1, 1994. These increases were sunset the first time in July 1, 1995. That particular legislator extended that sunset to January 1, 1998, and then the 1997 legislature extended again to January 1, 2000. And what this bill does was is delete completely the sunset. As you can see, there is fiscal impact on this, and there also is a revenue impact, that those, which those are attached.
So the extension of the 10 cents surcharge will bring $30 million for 99 to 01, and then federal funds, matching funds, $53.5 million to $30 million. That's a good ratio, one and a half. Not one and a half.
Not quite.
Oh, a little bit more than
that's right.
One and a half.
45,000.
And then next biennium will be more. Oh, because this biennium is only 1 year. And next biennium...
No, this
one's
not
the one. I thought you say it expires in the year 2000.
No. Oh. Well, the...
So is this only 1 year for the next biennium?
Actually, it would continue.
No,
it would continue.
We have the tax right now. So they would continue it, and this would be the impact of the revenue that they would bring, or the expenditures that they would.
But wouldn't the amount be double for the following biennium?
No. Yeah. I think what you're looking at is it would have ended January 1, 2000, but we're collecting it and would have to act by... to extend it past the January 1, 2000 in order to continue to collect the tax and the revenue. So that really is a biennial figure that you're seeing there, looks like. And so the next would just be the increase in sales.
Why would there be an increase since people may know less because of the tax?
I cannot answer that one.
I went back and looked at the, Madam Chair, the economic forecast, and it kind of indicates from the 97-99 biennium, and actually there was a total of 37-cent tax. There's $207 million brought in at that point. And then in 1999-01, there's only $149 million, so it does look like it's going down according to the economic forecast.
Oh, and so it's interesting then that we would have this revenue.
So, Madam Chair, why the increase?
That I can't answer.
This is LFO, that revenue. Right.
Does Doug have an answer?
Why
is this $9 million more?
Should have left the room like this, Madam Chair. Again, Doug Wilson, Director of Program and Finance for the Department. I think the question was, why is there a difference between the 99-01 and the 01-03? Keep in mind, I believe this is right, that the 99-01 is only for 18 months, because it's an 18-month period. It goes away January 1, 2000. So that's what the action you're taking will put in 18 months of new revenue for that period, and then there's a 24-month period the next biennium. So that's probably the main reason.
Yeah.
There's also changes in there in the forecast, and I can't address that at all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you were correct.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is a difference in time.
Yes, in the period.
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't mean that booking position stuff is not working.
It doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think it will go down, but...
I think you're right. It will go down.
Mm-hmm. We hope it goes down.
Yes.
I know.
Let's kind of throw back. You can hear if you can see. He's the chair of the revenue committee and could answer that, I'm sure.
Okay.
Other questions of the committee?
Okay, we're going to go into the work session on House Bill 2461. Is there discussion?
Madam Chair.
Senator Brown.
I move approval of House Bill 2461. Move to the full committee with DPAS recommendation.
Representative Gross moves House Bill 2461 to the full committee with the DPAS recommendation. Is there a discussion?
No, I'm sure. I'm no, because I don't vote for an increase in taxes.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Even though this is a sin tax.
Okay. Okay. No, Senator Yee is a no vote. Are there any other objections?
Madam Chair.
Senator George.
I wish this was just an extension of the sunset. That's not an easy thing to say.
I am a little, I'm slightly bothered by that too. So.
Could we change that?
Not in this committee.
Okay.
Maybe change to another one.
Well, you can amend it. Can you amend it to say
substantive?
Oh, it's substantive.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I did, and actually the discussion just came up today. We haven't talked to the co-chairs about it or anything, and it was scheduled, so.
Madam Chair.
It's represented for that.
We're doing 304, I assume.
No,
I mean, 2461.
Yeah.
That's what I meant. Well, I was the chairman of the Revenue Committee who moved this bill to you, and we've had that discussion the last three sessions, 95, we extended for 2 years, 97, we extended for 2 years. The proposal was to extend it for 2 years again. I think what we realized is that, first of all, 10 cents on a package of cigarettes is becoming an ever smaller percentage of the total cost of a pack of cigarettes. The tobacco lobbyists made the point that this was part of a deal that was, crafted with the original Oregon Health Plan. That's now, basically a 10-year-old deal or close to it. And I think times have changed. We've had Measure 44 voted on since that time. We've all built in the revenue for this every single session with the expectation that it's going to be continued. I guess the other question is, what if you eliminated it at some point? Would you expect to be going back to the public and saying, look, we reduced your price of cigarettes 10 cents. I don't think any of us want to go out and campaign on those kinds of issues. And besides that, I don't believe that the wholesalers and the tobacco companies would reduce the retail price 10 cents. It would just be additional profit. So rather than continue to go through that exercise every session, we decided to move this bill. There were a couple of bills that dealt with this, so we decided to move this bill, which just eliminated the sunset entirely and just recognized that, yes, this additional 10 cents is essentially a baseline for supporting the health plan that we count on every session and just to be realistic about it.
Okay. I might mention that just because my entrepreneurial spirit kind of pops up here, I don't mind if a firm making money in this would, if we would tax them, might have that as additional profit, but that's kind of dictated by the market. So to me, that's not a real selling point, but just making a point.
All right. Thank you, Rick.
That has no customer.
Well, okay. This is the same committee that voted out a reduction of the cigar tax because we did think that was inappropriate taxation that was actually having the effect of driving sales out of state for your constituent, Representative Wilson.
Oh, this also affects my constituent. And she might reduce the prices. I don't know.
I don't think you want to put that in your brochure.
No, I don't. I have never done this.
Well, it's been a good discussion.
Process. I know that Representative Strobeck had this committee refer it here, and I'm not sure quite why that occurred, and I'm sure he can answer. I just don't know the process.
Madam Chair, actually, that's a very good question, and we didn't really realize that it had to come here either when we passed it out. I think the only reason is because of the fact that it provides dollars that can be spent in this biennium, and therefore it needed to come through the process. It doesn't cost anything as far as the it doesn't need to be funded by this committee. It just needed to be included as part of the budget discussion.
Katie, staff can...
Also, this had a fiscal impact over $50,000, and it's known for them to come here.
But to the good, not us. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a revenue impact. It's not a spending impact.
It's a special payment that we make.
Special payment we make.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see. We have to spend money. Yeah. We have to spend money there, I see.
Can I judge?
I'm not sure. I voted last time to extend this. I would have voted to extend it again, but I'm not going to split this unless you absolutely need that vote. Because I think that needs to be reviewed each time. That was the premise that you laid out before the vote came. I thought it.
Okay. So let the record show that Senator George and Senator Yee are no votes. Are there any more no votes? Any objections?
She has enough votes.
Hearing and seeing none, House Bill 2461 is passed to the full committee with due pass recommendation. Could I get a couple carriers? Representative Strobeck, I'll have you carry it on the House floor. Representative Ross, you'll carry it to the... Oh, I could have had a Senator. Oh, and in the Senate. Okay.
Yeah.
And we'll have Senator Shields carried on the Senate. Okay, that concludes.